Darling Veda.
Chapter 3. Dinner with the captain turned out to be more of a big deal than I'd originally thought it would be. While I knew it was a coveted experience, I had no idea of the difference in the quality of service. When we'd dined previously, the waitstaff had been perfectly nice and prompt, as I'd expected. But when we were dining with the captain, it was like having my own private servant at my beck and call. I'd glance at my glass, and without barely thinking of a refill, my server had a new, full drink ready to replace the old one. The food was better, too. Had I known the cuisine would rise from 5-star to 10, just based on where I sat, I would have urged Freya to schmooze with the captain much sooner. I'd ordered a New York strip steak, lobster tail, and lemon garlic shrimp scampi with a side of loaded baked potatoes, lightly steamed asparagus, and caramelized carrots. I listened politely to Veda quiz the captain about nautical statistics while diving into the rye bread loaf left for the table. My server had left me a single-serve tub of honey rosemary butter to use as a spread, and it was so smooth and flavorful I nearly ate half the loaf before stopping myself only for etiquette's sake. When our food arrived, euphoria took over the moment I smelled what the waiter put down in front of me. I glanced over to Sam's plate, and she looked at mine, both silently appreciating each other's selections. She had ordered Dungeness crab and a king salmon fillet topped with over-medium quail eggs and butter. The way the chef had plated both our meals made it clear he took pride in his work, and I would not waste another moment to taste it. I could cut my steak with a butter knife, it was so tender. Juices flowed onto my plate, and I couldn't get the bite to my mouth fast enough. Between the velvet texture of the meat, the seared spice crust, and the aroma, I was in heaven. Normally, I eat quickly, but that night, I took my time and savored every bite. The delectability didn't stop with the steak. Every single item on my plate was cooked to perfection and seasoned just right, so the natural flavor shone through, accented by the various seasonings. The asparagus had a glorious snap to the outside and was tender on the inside, and the carrots were superbly sweetened without tasting sugary. Even the cheese on my baked potato seemed to be of higher quality the way it added tang and density. It was quite possibly the best meal I'd ever had, and I was thankful the rest of the table was occupied with whatever topic of conversation they were focused on, because if they had spoken to me, it would have been like talking to the deaf and blind. I was much too involved with my dinner. After I'd sampled everything on my own plate, I checked in on Sophie, who, by the dreamy look in her eyes, was enjoying her meal as much as I was my own. As much as I knew each of us would have sacrificed a bite or two to the other from our own plates, we both knew Delaney would murder us if we were to act so crassly in such a formal setting. So we made an unspoken pact to order what the other had if we got the chance to sit with the captain again. I managed to stay out of the conversation for the next 45 minutes while blissfully wallowing in my own personal food heaven. It wasn't until I took my last bite that I finally tuned back into what was going on around me. Turned out, I was just in time because the captain was staring at me, and I realized instantly someone had asked me a question.
"I'm sorry, can you repeat that?" I said, pretending I just didn't hear him clearly.
"Of course," the captain said politely. "Freya told me that you are a blogger with quite the following. As you can imagine, I'm not up to date on the inner workings of social media or digital media platforms. Do you find your work satisfying?"
I was thankful that the question was an easy one, and that I hadn't needed to know something from an earlier conversation to answer it.
"I do find it satisfying. I bring a bit of adventure to those who would otherwise never have any in their lives. I spark their imaginations, and they get to test their keyboard sleuthing skills out all at the same time. It is definitely a win-win."
"Interesting," the captain said, nodding. "What do you write about?"
I looked at Freya, not certain how to answer, since there must have been a reason she hadn't divulged the nature of my content.
I decided a dramatic and overgeneralized answer would be the best way to go. Oh, I dazzle them with wild tales of mystery and intrigue.
It's been a good while since I've read a mystery, the captain said with a smile. If you ever put any of your musings in a book, be sure to send me the first copy.
You've got it, I replied, happy he didn't seem to want to dig deeper. Sophie tapped my leg with her foot under the table. Good job, she mouthed, winking at me. I shrugged slightly, making a mental note to ask Freya the reason for her vagueness to the captain about my writing. Then I began to actively pay attention to the rest of the table, not wanting to end up on the spot again for not being mentally present. The rest of the evening was pleasant, but the best part had definitely been the food. I wasn't really interested in the ship, the captain's career, or the extended, never-ending descriptions of places he'd seen in his travels. It was like looking through someone else's 18 years of vacation pictures without the actual photos. I did get a boredom reprieve when dessert came, but by the time dinner was over, I was surely ready to be doing anything else. The captain offered a tour for those of us who hadn't accompanied him and Freya earlier, which I politely declined, citing my pending sunburn as needing attention. He laughed heartily and nodded.
If only that was the first time I'd lost a good time to a sunburn.
You're telling me. Thank you anyhow, I replied, shaking the man's hand.
Get a good night's rest, all of you. I recommend getting up for sunrise, he suggested. The view while getting into Shalorna when the sun is coming up is breathtaking.
That's an idea I can get behind, I lied. Truth be told, I loved my sleep almost as much as I loved food. The five of us left the captain's company and headed back to our suite. Freya and Veda chit-chatted about what they'd learned from the captain, and Delaney walked along with a huge smile on her face. What is the smile about? I asked, intrigued.
I have a new goal, she replied happily. I've been considering what type of law to specialize in, and now I know.
What's that? I prodded.
Liability, maritime, and contract law, she tossed back happily. You see, it's come to my attention that most of these cruise liners that have spas aboard, which is most of them, offer less than spectacular spa accommodations because their insurance and licensing restrictions hinder what they can do. I'm going to start my own company specifically designed to provide 5-star spa services on cruise ships and cut through the red tape so that my spas can offer everything a standard ship spa cannot. Nothing like making money while learning about the ins and outs of international maritime law as well.
While I got the gist of what she meant, I wasn't exactly sure why she thought the spas weren't already top of the line. What is wrong with what they offer?
It's not that there is something wrong per se. Her smile got bigger with every word. For example, I could book for most of the same services I would get in a resort spa, but the service isn't the same. Cruise ships tend to employ very young practitioners, a lot freshly out of school. They don't have the experience that makes a 5-star treatment. One reason for that is the young can travel for 6 months and not have to worry about family commitments and such, more so than older practitioners. Imagine setting things up so experienced spa workers could join the crew, not be gone as long, work, make a shit ton of money, and train the young practitioners.
So, it's a staffing issue, not necessarily the spa itself? I asked, surprised I was actually interested.
Oh, it's the spa too. You see, when the young are running things, they do what they know. That means subpar products and a lack of truly luxurious alternative treatments for the simple fact that they don't know how to use the equipment needed. Upgrading the staff allows for upgraded equipment, which results in upgraded quality all around plus faster training and experience for the newbies.
We had reached the suite door, and she turned to me.
I can't wait to get started.
Let me know if I can help, I replied, not sure what else I could offer. I'm sure Freya would be excited about your idea as well.
It would go hand in hand with her travel agency, Delaney nearly squealed.
I wasn't sure if she was more excited about the actual spa aspect of her idea or the legal work behind setting it up, but it didn't matter. I liked seeing her happy, and I loved when she demonstrated how ridiculously thoughtful she was. We got into our room and changed out of our dinner clothes, opting for more comfortable options. That consisted of sweatpants and no shirt for me, silk and lace lingerie for Freya, Sophie, and Delaney, and a somehow sexy orange button-down silk pajama set for Veda. We had our own private balcony, which we retreated to right after room service brought us a tray of amaretto sours. That night was black and cool, and the moon shone off the water, highlighting the ripples of the water surrounding the ship. We sat in silence, listening to the lulling sounds of swooshing and breathing the salt air deeply. Our minds were clear of any responsibility or turmoil, and the relaxing nature of it was something hard to imagine being attainable anywhere else. We sat for a good hour, simply enjoying being with each other in such a beautiful place. A big yawn from Sophie was our cue to call it a night. The girls decided that Sophie and Freya would be in my bed, and Veda and Delaney would each go to their own rooms. Delaney grabbed her laptop from her bag on her way.
"I just want to do a tiny bit of research before going to sleep," she explained.
Veda perked up.
"What are you researching?"
Delaney and Veda wandered away, as Delaney recounted what she told me earlier. Veda immediately went into the health safety hazards in spas, which Delaney was supremely interested in from a legal perspective. I laid down, and Freya and Sophie cuddled up on either side of me.
"Are you going to get up for the sunrise?" Freya asked.
"Immediate no," I replied. "But then I think about how long it may be before we have the opportunity again. I'm conflicted."
"I'm not," Sophie whispered sleepily. "The sunrise doesn't last forever. I'll get up, look at it, and go back to sleep."
I felt Freya smile as she lay on my chest. I waited for her to point out that we would get off the ship a mere 2 hours after sunrise and that there wouldn't be any going back to sleep. But she didn't. I took solace in the fact that I could go home and take a nap after we docked. And then something occurred to me. I hadn't done any writing. Normally, I would have been mildly upset for not being productive, especially when it seemed we had a possible mystery waiting for us at home. But at that moment, I didn't care. I could do a quick update after I was home. My readers knew I was on vacation, and they would deal just fine. As sleep overtook me, I lazily thought about what I would tell them. I didn't make it two sentences in before